first reading is from Acts, the fourth chapter. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 John, starting in the first chapter. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand now for the Alleluia in verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is forgiven." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
Praise to you, O Christ. You know, as we sang that hymn, it was so, it kind of caught me off guard how, as we heard the words of the verses, always with a hallelujah or two or three. And how often is it that our lives are also punctuated by giving thanks and praise to God? You know, those times when we see God in action and really understand better in those clear moments his love for us. And it makes us to break out in hallelujahs, even on days when it seems like there is no good in this world, that there is no hope, yet hallelujah still can be sung and praise be given to God. And so our text today really gives us a better feeling, I think, of the difference that Easter makes in the lives of those who believe it. We have the John passage of, you know, the disciples kind of in terror, locked up in a room away, and not knowing the Easter message, and Jesus comes and delivers it to them. And what a difference that made. And you and I, we received that good news of Jesus' resurrection last Sunday, but also, you know, we are in a season of Easter, and so we get to celebrate that over and over again. And it's something that never grows old. It never molds or gets fungus on it, right? I mean, it is something that is exciting every time we hear it, because we realize that God cared enough to do battle for us against all our enemies, and that God was victorious in Christ for us. And so what a difference that makes for our lives, but especially for those first Christians, those disciples. And what a different kind of people they were after Easter. I mean, in our first reading today from the book of Acts, we had, you know, the people selling all their property and giving the proceeds to the apostles to help the needy. I mean, what a difference knowing Jesus makes. We don't cling so tightly to the things of this world, but know that everything is God's, that God is indeed the creator, redeemer, sanctifier of the world and for us. And so while the world may say, what's mine is mine, you and I as the Easter people say, it's all God's. You know, it's all his, and we are a part of that creation. And, you know, our world, while it says what mine is mine, it even says if you have need, maybe I'll do something about it. Maybe. I mean, most people think that they're good, right? I mean, but it's not a sure thing. After all, we all have needs too. Right? I mean, we have bills to pay, things to buy, retirement to save for, lots of stuff. And so you and I so many times, unfortunately, get caught up in the world's way. And we look down on those people who are not able to do it for themselves. And that kind of thinking, though, infests us at times. You know, we kind of get puffed up and our hearts get a little bit more hard because we start thinking in the way the world is. But God is different than our world. God shows us that the things of this world that we thought were, well, that was just the way it is. You were born, you lived, you died, that was the end of things. God shows us there's a lot more going on. He tells us that, you know, there is birth, there is life, there is death, but then there's eternity. Something that God intended for us in the very beginning. And so you and I, in this day, as God's people, we need a refresher course of what it is to be an Easter people, because it's so easy for us to fall away from that. And you know, one of the things that God provides to us, and really the disciples kind of show this forth in their lives too, is we have a community of faith, a people that are like us, that are Easter believers, that are people that, well, we have the same understanding of our God and our Lord. We understand the great gifts that God has given. We bear with one another when we are sinning, and we point that out, and we ask for forgiveness. And see, we try not to sin, but yet when we do, there is forgiveness for us. Amen. And isn't that a wonderful thing? That's not something you find everywhere. You know, I remember working in the so-called real world. And, you know, if you made a mistake, you know, most likely there wasn't a lot of mercy shown. Okay? There was more like, we're going to cut your pay, or you're not going to get this, or... go out the door, no more. See, there were penalties, real life consequences. And so you and I, we live in a world that doesn't give second chances, a world that is very cold and indifferent, and yet God warms our heart to say, you know, you could use a little cheering up. You could use something good today. So here, take this. Receive this. You know, we heard a few weeks ago from the DCCM about feeding those who don't have food. We also have those in our community that, I mean, they don't have access. One of the reasons we have a blessing box outside the church now is to help people who are in real need of sustenance and even something to drink. And so you and I today, as an Easter people, our hearts are filled with compassion because of what God has done for us. Now, we are a community of people. We don't do a lot here by ourselves, which is good. The disciples were gathered together in that room when Jesus appeared. They were mutually sad. They didn't go off by themselves to be sad, but rather were sad together. Okay? I mean, after all, they had witnessed and heard about the crucifixion of Jesus, his burial. And they hadn't quite gotten the good news yet that Jesus had risen. So they were in grief and mourning, in disbelief. And they were really hurting. But when they hurt, they didn't go out all by themselves, but rather huddled together. And I think there's something there for you and I to realize that when we are having difficulty, we should come to one another, not become quiet and not come to church anymore or stop all those things, but rather even go more and be more involved with each other, because that's where we find our help and our hope, is when we hear from others and work with them about what God has done. And so there is something there about our community of faith as an Easter people that we love to gather together. I mean, certainly Easter is a great example of that. You know, there's no room to park. There's no room to sit. You know, we have to sit up in the loft up there. You know, now you know what the choir went through so many years, right? And so, you know, some of you even watch the service out in the fellowship hall while making breakfast for everybody. And so, you know, you and I, we know what it's like to gather together and to have that. And also, you came back this week. Because guess what? God is still here. His message of salvation in Christ is still good. And his forgiveness is real today, just as it was last Sunday and just as it will be next Sunday.
Amen.
And so we are a people that gain our strength by coming together into God's presence to hear his word for us, to receive his forgiveness, his peace. Because remember Jesus, when he came to the disciples, peace be with you. Peace be with you. It was like peace was flowing out. Yes, I know some of you went down a river on that one. Okay. Don't worry, we're finishing the service today with that one. So, peace is coming from God because God has declared peace because of Christ. He is the sacrifice that we needed in order to have the peace we need with God. And so God provided it for us. So as a community, as a congregation, as a church, as a people, we are the people who proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the difference that Easter makes. We have something to trumpet to this dead world. We have something to say about issues going on in this world. We have something to say and to do to help others. And we have something to say and do for the young people in our lives as well. And for the middle-aged, and for the older folks, we have a message that God has given for all. That's why we can sing and say, Alleluia. That is why that word is so important to us, which is why it hurts us so much during Lent to put it away. But we pull it back out now, and we realize how important it is to give our thanks and praise to God for his victory for us. And so today, I want us to think outside of ourselves, to remember that when we were dead in our trespasses, God took the initiative to redeem us. And so maybe we should have also an attitude of helping those who are also dead to know the truth. And I mean dead spiritually, okay? I'm not telling you to go out to the cemeteries, okay? Okay. I just want to make sure we're clear on this, okay? Okay. St. Louis might come calling for me if I didn't correct that. So may you and I then, you know, may we be more compassionate toward others, because we know what that's all about, to feel lost and separated. And, you know, one of the things that I hear from our homebound members is how hard it is to not be in church. That even with the tools of virtual and watching, while that's a helpful thing, they miss you all. They miss the people. They miss the camaraderie. They miss the jokes. They miss the bad jokes even, okay? They miss that. And so you and I, maybe we should realize how important it is and how wonderful it is that we get to come here and we get to sing our alleluias. And we get to interact with one another. No matter whether we're feeling good that day or bad, God is there for us. And so that is something I think that we all need this day. On this, which is normally termed Low Sunday, throughout Christendom, because all the trumpets and all the fanfare went into Easter morning. Now the week after, the crowds are no longer there. But God is. So may you and I rejoice in a God who is faithful like that, and who is real and here, and he forgives. And may we be as forgiving as he is. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.